Sermon will be brought to us from Brother Francis. Yes, who will give us the word from Luke chapter 8.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay. Good morning. It's been a while since I last spoke in December last year. Just an update. Finally, I graduated on the 4th of May after 4 long years. by the grace of God, I finally graduated and I just want to thank my wife for the support she has given to me. Many times I have to keep washing the dishes. I got to go and study. You know, after dinner, I just go into the room. A bit slow. Right now, since 9th of May, I've been serving the Love Little India Community Care. I heard about this project long time ago, but because of my studies, I couldn't get involved. So there's such thing as a free lunch in Singapore. And this one happened to be run by a Christian organization. But there are those that are run by temples, by, you know, even by social welfare agency. So here we get people to come in, offer them a simple vegetarian meal, and then of course, because they know that this is, and many thought that it's a church, but actually it's not, it's a cafe. They come in, then we serve them lunch, coffee, tea, and then of course, sometimes we talk to them and share the gospel. And so you find that, you know, people come in for a lot of reasons, some for the free lunch, and some may respond. In fact, every day, there'll be people who will be reporting that, oh, there's a soul that's saved today, because some of the ladies here are from A Soul A Day. And these ladies are really, you know, I mean, when they talk to you, they will want to share the gospel with you. Sometimes so enthusiastically, but no, sometimes, you know, you just push the gospel into the throat. And really, sometimes we don't know whether these conversions are genuine or not. But only time will tell. And I think the real test comes when, you know, especially for Hindus. You know, they are pluralistic. You know? So Jesus could be one of their God. And really, when you think about conversion, you know, the real challenge is tell them, hey, Jesus is the only way. You have to give up your other gods. Okay, this morning my topic is taken from Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 12. Allow me to share a true story before we dive into the text. Once upon a time in Singapore, a Filipino marine engineer met a Filipina nurse at Queensway Baptist Church. Muriel and Jesma Espiritu fell in love and got married. However, instead of staying here to earn good money, God led them to return home and reach out to the poor in Palangoy, Bilanggonan, Rizal. Once is the place, the district, and the province. They were childless but became the mommy and daddy of many youth from broken families. Pastor Muriel mentored Chip and Ian, and is like a father to both. The wise mentor knew the danger of dating for a long time and advised Chip to marry Katie. Though Francis was not really, Francis was really expecting a grand wedding to happen, he experienced God's work and love by having one through the help of his brethren in Christ. Francis and Katie were ordained as deacon and deaconess of another church called ETWF. Unfortunately, Pastor Muriel did not know that Ian, his adopted son, had a secret relationship with Kronika. The inevitable happened, and I made a trip to their home to encourage them after Pastor Muriel briefed us about them. So in this place where they come from broken home, teenage marriage and pregnancy are quite common. Jasma is like a mother to son of this girl, especially to Rowinta, the girl in white. And she and her two brothers were orphans. So they look up to Pastor Muriel and Jasma as mommy and daddy. Jasma works as a nurse, while Muriel became a pastor of a church which was built spiritually and physically from scratch. Sorry, a bit slow here. So Pastor Muriel managed to get the youth under his wings to build a church on a small piece of land. They really get the youth to do the work, you know, the cement and the whole complete thing on a land in Kasibulan Street in Palangoy, Bilanggonan. This building was completed progressively as and when they have sufficient funds. In the Philippines, you can see a lot of buildings, you know, without with cement and all that. The whole structure is finished, but the interior will be completed stage by stage as when they have the money. Very common in third world country. So the name of this church is Palangoy Gospel Chapel. We had the privilege to be involved in what God is doing here. Mabel made one trip in November 2010. While I went there with other members from ETW, that was my previous church, on 6 occasions. ETWE, or Entrusting the Word Ecclesia, is a small church of 32 members. This is Bilanggonan in Rizal Province of the Philippines. It is a poor district with many broken families. That is the main reason why many young people become juvenile delinquents, drug addicts, or victims of child abuse. The young people will stop schooling to work as early as 15 years of age. They are forced by poverty to give up studying and help their parents provide for their large family. Pastor Murrell wanted to offer hope in the form of a scholarship program called Bukas Puso. Bukas Puso means open heart in Tagalog. Hope for a brighter future came through this scholarship program. The church uses this mission project to empower the Filipino youth through education by providing financial assistance and character building. The goal is to build life for now and eternity. This scholarship helps high school and college students not only with tuition fee but also provide daily transport and lunch allowances. Education is the best way for them to break this poverty cycle. There is a regular report on the status of the program to ETWE, which happened to be the main sponsor. So Pastor Murrell will ensure that sponsors from Singapore, Malaysia, and even one from New Zealand receive a thank you card from each recipient. We will display this card for church members to read. Here are three cards written by Grace, Hannah, and Monique. It's not just a thank you card per se, but also provides some report on their progress in education and spiritual development, written by their own hands with the help of people who are more fluent in English. This one was written by Grace Edmund, who is a mother of two children. She decided to go back to school. Her husband worked on board a ship and seldom comes home. I mean, he has to go long voyages and all that. This guy is from Hannah, who was supported from high school and is now in college. Monique is a teenage mother who was abandoned by her boyfriend when she became pregnant and wanted to improve her livelihood through higher education. The total cost per year for each student is about $500. ETWE is privileged to sponsor 49 students per year. Getting into Bukas Puso program is almost unconditional, so long as you meet certain criteria. You must be poor and needy and below a certain income level. However, staying in is conditional and depends on fulfilling certain requirements. The recipient must attend weekly youth services and fellowship meetings to assist in their character building. They must not miss more than 2 weekly meetings. You know, they have cell groups and things like that. They must allow house visitation to conduct home Bible study at least once a month to maintain contact with the family for fellowship, encouragement, counseling and sharing of God's word. In other words, to the student, it provides an entry into the home to the parents. They must get their parents, the parent or guardian, to attend a monthly gospel hour, after which allowances for the month will be distributed accordingly. This program has its fair share of success and failure in reaching out to the underprivileged. Here is a verbatim report. Dear brethren, we are really sorry to inform you that we have to drop some recipients from the program. Please pray for them that the salvation they have come to know that is in Yeshua will continue to grow in their hearts and that they will serve the Lord. The annual report will list the name and reasons for each student who will drop. Most of the sponsored students are doing well because of the emphasis put on God as well as on their moral and mental development. There are, of course, some who drop out of the program due to religious conflict, laziness, or family circumstances. But they are replaced by others who are willing to abide by the requirements of the Bukas Puso program. There are three typical outcomes of this program. The first one is seen in the story of Ron and Kel. Ron has finished second year in high school and was doing well in school. His mother is currently working in Singapore as a domestic helper to support his two siblings and even the father. The father suffers from schizophrenia and can no longer work as a fisherman. Initially, Ron was actively involved in the junior youth worship team and was helping the children in church. However, he began to skip church services and stop reading the Bible and personal devotion. The reason for this change is his new interest. He has a girlfriend, which is forbidden for sponsored recipients. I mean, Pastor Murray is strict. He knows they come from a broken family, so he said that relationship is really a no-no. You focus on your study. So when Ron was counseled, he told the church that he preferred his girlfriend than the Bukas Puso scholarship. Kelvin or Kel has just finished his second year in mass communication, which he enjoyed very much. Actually, this guy is talented. He's quite a good speaker in public speaking and was involved in the children ministry and the worship ministry. Through the grace of God, he has also started speaking and sharing the word of God in the youth church. His passion for the Lord extends even to his desire to witness to his family. However, Kel was finally dropped from the program after getting involved with a member of the youth church. In spite of several counseling sessions, this promising young man left the church together with a girlfriend. Ron and Kel are just two examples of those who did not complete their studies when they chose to reject the terms and conditions of the Bukas Puso scholarship program. There are also those who completed their studies and left the church after graduation. Gilda and Mark were two promising youth we met when Mabel joined us on the second trip in November 2010. Here is a snapshot of their life then and now. Gilda comes from a very poor family with neither electricity nor water in their house. She has finished her second year in BS, elementary education, a Bachelor of Science, and seen the blessing of God extended to her family and her sister, who also became a Christian. Gilda was very active in the children ministry, in the outreach ministry in the district of Kasinai. She was also a cell group leader. I mean, she was really active and very promising. Although she began well, she did not end well because we heard that she had left church after getting involved with a non-believer whom she met while she was working. Mark was a young school teacher who was a former ETW recipient. He was an active church leader and a prayer warrior. Both his parents were divorced and they abandoned Mark and his siblings. And there were like nine of them together with the grandmother. He was left alone to become the sole breadwinner and never complained, but always shared how God has blessed him with this teaching job. However, he left church after a major disappointment in a boy-girl relationship, and he began chasing after material possession and popularity. I found out through the Facebook that he was so happy to project himself as, you know, very popular with tattoo here and there. And, well, he was so proud that he has a car. So these are really telltale signs in that sense. But thankfully, there remained those who chose to help out after graduation and became leaders in the growing congregation. These are the faithful ones. This couple were young professionals when we first met and are now young parents. Dennis Roda is an accountant, while Melanie Zoella is a nurse. We never expect both of them to be together as they were always with someone else when we were there. In fact, we expected Mel to marry Mark, but it never turned out that way. This is the things that we have with boy-girl relationship, you know. I think you experience it when you're young, right? Okay, Francis Aragon and Kathleen May Cruz dated since they were in high school until Pastor Morrell advised them to get married, even though they could not afford a grand wedding. And then they were dating for far too long. And Pastor Morrell said, you know, the inevitable will happen. And please get married. You know. Percival is a church board member who did not go to college and work as a butcher. Whereas Marjorie, was a secret admirer because they were never together when we were there. But both are active church leaders before and after Marjorie's graduation. They represent the faithful remnant, including those who are singles, from each cohort who stayed to help the church grow. So you have each cohort. The one with the stars are the active Bukapuso scholar whom we met during our mission trip. Thank God there were many successes and failure in the in this program of this church with a growing ministry. God has indeed blessed the ministry as Palamai Gospel Church continues to grow in numbers through this Bukas Puso program by reaching out to the parents through these students. The church also meets the needs of the community through the Compassionate Ministry. This ministry provides staple for the poor family. There's also an unlocked box filled with rice for anyone to walk in and take what they need from a church that was planted by Palamai Gospel Chapel. This is in the district of San Carlos. The new church is called ETW Fellowship. ETW stands for Entrusting the Word. It's a teaching ministry in Singapore with a small congregation of 32 members, which, by the grace of God, managed to raise $420,000 for this building fund to build a church in Manila is more expensive than to build it somewhere out on the outskirts. It took many years from the time the land was purchased before God gave them a proper house of worship. So they used to worship in a hut with no toilet facility and had to use a kind neighbor, one and only toilet. Can you imagine the whole congregation like this, perhaps, and using one toilet when the need arises? So we are amazed by the transformation from a hut to modern church building. So my last trip was to celebrate God's goodness with them in June 2012. Indeed, God has multiplied the work there by reaching out to the community and meeting their needs. The word is not stopping here as there is a plan to plant another church in Kasinai. The first church existed for 14 years before it celebrated the completion of a second church in June 2012. Meanwhile, they were already reaching out to the people in Kasinai when we met Pastor Uriel in April 2010. The next slide will show the development of this ministry. Currently, there's no church building in Kasinai yet. They started from a small little hut with a temporary shelter. And that's how San Carlos began, by the way. It was a small little hut. And then the work increased, they had to build a bigger tent, a bigger hut. But right now, there's no building. This is a story of how God can use a childless couple who became the spiritual and adoptive parents to underprivileged children and orphans. This group photo of the youth is a combined meeting. This is proof that this story is not fake news. It's also a true story of how the word of God has impacted the life of the people in Kapasan. Kapasan stands for Kasinai, Palangoy, and San Carlos. Okay. The Bukas Puso program has its fair share of success and failure in reaching out to the poor and needy. There's also a similar story in one of Jesus' parables. The story that I shared, it's about the type of responses to the hope that is offered to the poor and needy students in the Philippines for a brighter future. In the same manner, there are several responses to the Word of God which offer a greater hope for now and eternity. You are familiar with the parable of the sower. Okay? Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 4 to 21. It will be on the screen. I will read the first slide and you will read the second and continue in this manner with the third and fourth slide. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord, as we read your word, we ask, Lord, that we will be hearers and doers of the word. Lord, we ask for your spirit to be with us this morning as we read your word from Luke chapter 8. Thank you again for bringing us together as we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll read this slide first and then you'll read the second slide. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, He, meaning Jesus, said in the parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it has no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew, and yielded a hundredfold. As he said this thing, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, your turn now. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Okay. Take care how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Okay, let's read this together. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Again, who belongs to Jesus? You know, it's not his physical mother and brothers, but really he says that he extends that family to those who hear the word of God and do it. So this is a structure. First, the parable is told in verses 4 to 8. Then the reason for Jesus' teaching in parable is revealed in the next two verses. From verses 11 to 15, the interpretation of the parable is given, followed by judgment against those who refuse to respond in verses 16 to 18. Finally, the importance of hearing and doing God's word is given in the last three verses of the passage. The parable and the surrounding text stresses the variety of responses to the word of God, which is presented in Jesus' teaching. That is why the parable of the soil is a better name for the passage. You know, I feel that at this point in time in the life of Jesus, he already did a lot of miracles. He already said what he needed to say. And large crowd will follow him. Now he turned around and said, this is the time when you must hear and respond. If you don't hear, whatever you have or whatever you think that you have will be taken away. It was a stern warning to challenge people. Now is the time to commit. No more, you know, joining the crowd or just following, coming along to watch the show. You must be involved. You must participate. The soil represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God. The key word here is the most repeated word from the word cloud created from the passage. There's this software in, you know, in the internet, you just word cloud creator. You just do your text and then it will show you what are the most repeated words. So here the repeated word is actually here. So genuine hearing is the principal theme of this passage as seen in the following verses. Let me read them for you. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Verse 8. Verse 10 says, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. The word hear comes in various forms. Those who hear. Then verse 18. Take care how you hear. Then verse 21. The clincher. those who hear the word of God and do it. In fact, the parable of the soil is a type of judgment against those who refuse to respond. And again, I say, at this point in time, many people were following Jesus. They saw everything that happened. It's time for them to make a commitment. It's time not just to hear, but to hear and obey and to act on it. I mean, there's another word for hear. Some translation put it, listen. When you hear, you come here and you can go out there. But when you listen, it's here and then it stays inside and you digest. So there's a difference. Some better translation put it, listen. So there's identify who is the sower, what is the seed, and what are the types of soil. The sower is Jesus Christ, who is God's chosen agent to sow the seed. In our context, it is a preacher or teacher of God's word or anyone who shares the gospel. The seed is the word of God. It is a revelatory message about the kingdom of God that offers hopes for the present and future. While the seed is good, the emphasis falls on the type of soil, whether it is good or bad. The focus of the parable is on the soil, not the seed, since the seed gets four different reactions. The soil represents the four types of human hearts. In soil number one, the seed on the path never has a chance, since Satan comes and picks up whatever has not already been trampled. In such cases, people have no chance to hear, believe, or be saved. This is the hard-hearted hearer. Although there is a similar parable in Matthew and Mark, I chose this passage because of the particular word that only appears here in Luke, the word believe. This implies that the second and third soil were believers, as the next verse tells us. In soil number two, the seed on the rock starts out well, as a type of short-lived faith that allows germination of the seed. Yet, there is no deep root, and when pressure comes, this people fall away. This is a shallow-hearted hearer. Mark 4 verse 17 describes the testing as tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. The shallow soil overlaying rock produces quick but impermanent results. It's like a sort of instant plant. This time for the easy convert easily lost. The sun's scorching heat is the analogy in this parable stands for the tribulation and persecution because of the word. The shallowness of the ground represents impressionable, easily influenced person who have little stability. What about soil number three? In soil number three, the seed among the thorns fight with other things in the ground for nutrients, and the thorns choke them. This is the thorny-hearted hearer. Mark chapter 4 verse 19 describes these thorns as the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things to make them unfruitful. As with the second soil, this type of heart has enough potential for productivity, but the life in the seed begins to develop. But the competition from the thorns is too much, and a young seedling is choked out. This seed has no chance to flourish, unlike the successful seed. In soil number four, the successful seed is that which finds good soil. The grain lands on a good and true heart, which hears the message, retains it, and has a patience to hold fast to it. This is the receptive-hearted hearer. Mark chapter 4 verse 20 quantifies the fruit as bear fruit 34, 64, and 100-fold, according to our capability, according to our gifting and talent. Each of us will produce a certain amount of fruit. And God is not interested in whether you are able to produce 100 or you are able to produce 20. Most important, are you doing it 100% according to your abilities? So fruit is never a matter of an overnight exercise. It takes nurturing. Thus, Jesus' teaching does not look at the reaction to God's word in a single moment, but over a period of time. Plants take time to grow. Okay? As our walk with God also takes time to be nurtured and grow. So just as it takes time for wheat to choke the seed or for the lack of root in plant to become evident, response to the word of God is the product of a process. Only one soil meets the goal for which the seed was planted, the fourth soil. This represents a true believing disciple who not only hears the gospel message but understands it and allows it to take full root in his or her heart so that it can produce fruit. Only those whose hearts have been receptive to the word of Jesus' message will produce the fruit of kingdom life. The evidence that they are truly children of the kingdom. Okay. There may be varying amount of yield in each person, again, according to your capacity, but there must be yield. Whatever it is, you are tenfold, 20-fold, or 100-fold, you make sure you produce that what according to what you are capable or you were destined to do. What is this fruit that Christians are expected to bear? The fruit is not identified in this passage, but may refer to the transformation of a person who has encountered the kingdom of God. We have to refer to other passages in the Bible to discover what is the fruit of obedience. John 15, verses 4 to 6, tell us about the fruit of the vine. You have heard this passage before. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned." Galatians 5, chapter 2, 22 to 23. We are very familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, exhort us to produce the fruit of righteousness. And here it says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Yes, we have the imputed righteousness of God, but we are also to, as Paul says, we are also to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So these are four responses to the work, God's work according to the parable of the soil. Each soil represents the condition of our hearts when we hear the word of God being proclaimed. The hard heart does not believe at all. The shallow heart believes but bears no fruit. The thorny heart also believes but bears immature fruit. The receptive heart is the one that believes and is very fruitful. Let us see the similarity between the hearts in this parable and those in the book of Puso recipients. The hardness of heart prevents the seed of the gospel from taking root, and they cannot understand its truth. These are like the teachers of the law and Pharisees who were against Jesus from the start. In today's context, they are the callous person who ignore the gospel completely because they don't understand a single bit of it. Not only are they not open to the word being planted in their life, that word is picked away by the evil one. Sometimes it is a hurt or wounded heart that is close to the truth. There is a different result from the seed that fell on the rock that represents a shallow heart. The shallow heart exhibits a superficial reception of the gospel. They at once receive it with joy, but it does not take root. They are like those of the crowd who has not made a personal commitment to be Jesus' disciple. The seed of the gospel message was not able to penetrate to produce a change of regeneration in the person's heart. They profess to follow Christ, but under the burning heat of troubles and persecution, the professing disciples' true nature is revealed, while others stumble or fall away. In today's context, this is a life that hears the word and embraces it with enthusiasm even. They start to do things for the glory of God, praise Him joyfully, and even make changes to their life. Then persecution or pleasure enters, and they put aside their faith. What about the thorny hearts then? The thorny heart represents receive the gospel but have competition from the world and represents a life wherein spiritual issues are not a priority. The message of the gospel is not able to transform the person into a true disciple because of his or her competing priorities, meaning that Jesus is not number one. There are other things that are number one. The worries of this life indicate that a person has not placed the kingdom above all else and so tries to manage his or her own life. In today's context, this is a life that hears the word, but is so overwhelmed by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that those things eclipse the gospel in their life. Care, riches, and pleasures are not in and of themselves evil. No, I mean, you are not supposed to go to a mountain, become poor, and then, you know, isolate yourself, but that's not the idea. Okay, so care, riches, and pleasure, they are in themselves not evil. There is a saying that a well may be effectively choked and stopped with a load of flowers as by a load of rotten carcasses. You have a well. You know, you can prevent that people from you going to the well when you put a lot of flowers. Flowers are good things, right? But still, yet it can choke the well. And carcasses, you know, don't have to mention. It's something that's bad. All right, so in good things and bad things can choke that well in a sense. So this is not the case for the good soil that represents a receptive heart. The receptive heart represents the person who not only hears the gospel message, but understands it and allows it to take full root into his or her heart so that it can produce fruit. This soil represents a true believing disciple. Only those whose heart have been receptive to the work of Jesus' message will produce a fruit of the kingdom life. The evidence that they are truly children of the kingdom. Jesus has already said that the fruit reveals the character of the tree. That is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. So he declares that if the seed message of the gospel does not bear a kingdom crop, there is no life in that person. There may be varying amount of yield in each person, but there must be a yield. In today's context, this is the life that hears the word, understands the word, and bear fruit for the kingdom. Entry into the kingdom of God is like getting into the Book of Buso program. In the same manner that Book of Buso offers hopes for a higher, brighter future to the poor Filipinos in Binangonan, so it is with the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ offers hope for now and eternity to those who accept him as Lord and Savior. But it will depend on the type of response to God's word. First, through the gospel and then through teaching and preaching. Getting into God's kingdom is almost unconditional, but staying in is conditional and depends on fulfilling certain requirements. Here are some of them. We are told in 2 Peter verses, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, confirm your calling and election. I won't go into too much into the verse. You can read for yourself, but here he says that verse 5, this is why you must make every effort to add moral excellence to your faith, and to moral excellence knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control endurance, and to endurance godliness, and to godliness affection for the others, and to affection for others love. So there is a gradual process. And the key word is, you must make every effort. Yeah, Christian life is not autopilot. You have to do something. In a sense, and as you go, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you, you know, under the wings of God. In James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26, faith without work is dead. Here it says, it is good that you believe that God is, no, you believe in God, no, the devil also believe and tremble. Okay, and here it says that as the body is dead, so faith without action is dead. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation. Okay. So just for you to read take some time to read the word in red. Carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to work and to actually live out his good purposes. God is the one who enables us, but we must do some work. Warning against apostasy in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 8. Because it is impossible to restore people to change hearts and lives who turn away once they have seen the light, tasted the heavenly gift, become partners with the Holy Spirit, and tasted God's good word and the powers of the coming age. They are crucifying God's Son all over again and exposing him to public shame. The ground receives a blessing from God when it drinks up the rain that regularly comes and falls on it and yields a useful crop for those people who for whom it is being farmed. But if it produces thorn and thistle, it is useless and close to being cursed. It ends up being burned. God saved and afterward destroyed those who didn't believe. Jude 5. You find that when they were at when they were delivered out of Egypt, they did not have to do anything. The Jews were delivered on account that they were children of Abraham. And God kept his promise to Abraham that I will take care of your people. And so nothing can stop. Alright, and therefore when they were born slaves in Egypt, God delivered. And when they cried out to God, God delivered. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to obey the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were only given on Mount Sinai when God made a covenant with them. Then and only God said, you want to be my people? Okay, there are these terms and conditions that you must obey. Okay. And finally, of course, Jude says, I want to remind you of something you already know very well. The Lord who once saved a people out of Egypt, later destroyed those who didn't maintain their faith. Remember what happened in Kadesh Barnea? They chose not to have faith in God. And God destroyed those 20 and above. Right. And so this is the case. That there's this whole idea of, yes, there is a covenant between God and us. God will fulfill the covenant. But there is a part that we must also fulfill. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Warned that the worker of lawlessness excluded from the kingdom. Not everyone body who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? Then I will tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do wrong. There's also the danger of getting chopped down if a tree does not produce good fruit. So there's a need for consistency of heart or character and outward obedience, as Luke chapter 7, verse 7 to 9 indicates. This passage tells us what an acceptable response is. To respond to God is not a matter of spiritual cruise control, where things happen automatically in instinctive response to the things of God. It takes conscious effort to focus on God and His way, so that we become consistently fruitful. We must be careful to supply proper nutrients and care for our well-being by continually being watered with the Word of God and enfolded in the protecting community of other believers. No matter how, you must still be in the church. And in the church, you know, where the Word of God is taught or preached, you must listen and listen to it and act. So we likewise must be careful not to allow the thorns of this world to choke us. Ultimately, it is the ongoing production of fruit that differentiates those who have truly responded to God's word from those who have not. It's not so much about getting in or indeed about staying as about how you could tell who was in the kingdom of God. What you see just now from the story of in the Philippines, it's just a snapshot. Okay, things may improve, may not. I don't know. No, we will not know. We are not God. Okay? But from that snapshot, it tells you a story. Right? It tells you, how can one tell who was in? Only time will tell who was in and who was out. So the important thing is, we can begin well, but we must continue to maintain and end well. So it takes time to bear fruit, just as it takes time for a weed to choke the seed or the lack of root in a plant to be evident. Jesus' teaching does not look at the reaction to God's word in a single moment, but over a period of time. So you find that the last three are in the church. And the question is, what type of soil are you? Is God growing in your heart? That's the story you heard is a snapshot of the current situation in the Philippines. I cannot know what is going to happen in the future, neither can I be judgmental. Only God knows the true heart condition of people who claim to be believers. I can only pray and hope for the best. Until then, their stories serve as a living illustration of the parable of the soil. The four soils represent four responses to God's word. The variety of responses to the word of God is caused by a variety of obstacles to the word. Spiritual forces, trials, worry, riches, pleasure. This will result in many types of responses to the message that Jesus brings. Some people will never be interested in Jesus' teaching. Others will draw close, but will lack constancy or stability in their response. Some may walk away, but others will bear fruit. In fruit bearers, the word of God expresses itself triumphantly when we hear the word of God and do it. It's God growing in our hearts. Many things can get in the way of responding to Jesus. Some people never seem interested. They are like their first soil. Others are initially drawn to God's word, but as the difficulty of being a Christian in the world becomes clear, their interest wanes and they drop out of sight. They are like the second soil. Some may have never been saved. They were initially attracted to the church, but their subsequent departure reflects where their heart was all along. It is tragic to be so close and yet so far. Still others flirt with a Christian walk. Life is either too tempting or too demanding for them to respond in a way that draws them to Jesus. They are like the third soil. The world we live in is probably has more such distraction than it did during the days of Jesus. It is fair to say that most of us struggle not to let the affairs of life and the tyranny of daily demands of life overwhelm us. We struggle. We struggle with our life. We struggle with having to live, you know, how to continue. These are real. The difference between the third and fourth seem to be the condition of their hearts. A healthy heart clings to God's word. It be as fast for him and respond to him. A damaged heart has trouble seeing him over the distraction or attraction of other things. It does take constant listening and clinging to the word of God to be fruitful. There are two takeaways or application. The first key fact is when we share God's word. There are many responses when we share the gospel or hear the word of God. The first takeaway for us is the expected response when we share God's word. As we labor to sow the seed of the kingdom, we must remember that different responses are inevitable. Just as Jesus had varied responses to his message, so will we. Faithfulness in sowing the gospel message is paramount, not the numbers of conversion. I mean, I've been doing street evangelism for 2 years in Orchard Road and now doing in Little India, which is very tough. You ask Joanne. No, sometimes they even say the Lord's Prayer. And after you follow up and talk to them, are you interested? They just say, no, I'm not interested. Okay. So, but nevertheless, we are not interested in the number of conversions. We are interested in sharing the word. So the second lesson we can learn from the parable of the soil is for us to discuss the many pitfalls to fruitfulness when we hear God's word. Whether riches, fame, success, desire to be accepted, the pursuit of pleasure or comfort or fear of letting God have control, the road to fruitfulness is packed with black holes that can really swallow up any progress towards spiritual vibrancy. As you look at your spiritual walk up to today, which soil are you? We must be wary that rejecting the truth of the gospel can lead to a heart hardened against God. While the last three hearts have not lost their salvation because a heart that is regenerated cannot be unregenerate. However, we must consider the possibility that a person who continues to harden his or her heart against the truth of God's word was never regenerated in the first place. So, as you know, the guy may never really be truly born again. He can come to church for various reasons. He may respond to the gospel for various reasons. Like right now in Little India, every day you can hear people say, oh, this guy got saved, this guy got saved. But you know, the real thing is follow up. What will happen after he got saved? Will he continue to walk? Will he continue to be fruitful? And only time will tell. So what are the obstacles to your successful response to God's word? What is the condition of your heart today? It's got growing in your heart. Last month, Mr. Leong Kok Wai reminded us that the heart of the problem in being true disciple of Christ is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem in being true disciples of Christ is the problem of the heart. Isn't that very true? So he also asked this question. Have you loved the Lord a little more than yesterday? Have you known the Lord a little more than yesterday? Have you put your trust in the Lord a little more than yesterday? It's not about how you begin, but how you end. The race set before us is not a sprint, but a marathon. Will you begin and end well by being the good soil? Let us take some time to reflect as I play this song. This song is, unfortunately, I don't think the medical generation will only know this because it was sent during our Sunday school. Okay. Just reflect on this song.
Down to where your heart is. It's where your thoughts and feelings all begin. But if you never give your heart to Jesus, you'll never really have a part in him. But if your treasures are in heaven, then your heart will be there too, and the things you say and do will show Christ's love. But if your treasures here on earth, tell me where your heart will be. You'll never have a part in things above. So you know, it all comes down to where your heart is. It's there your thoughts and feelings all begin. But if you ever give your heart to Jesus, you'll never really have a part in Him. If your mind's set on the Spirit and you're walking with God's light, then the watching world will see Christ's love in you. But if your mind's set on the earth and the earthly things you do, in poverty you'll live your whole life through. So I guess it all comes down to where your heart is.
Where your
is there your thoughts and feelings all begin.
It all comes down.
If you never give your heart to Jesus,
you'll never really have a part in Him. You never really have a part.
Yes, pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess there is nothing wrong with the seed that is sown. Your gospel and your word are perfect. The psalmist declared that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. We admit that the problem lies with the hearts of the hearers. Lord, in your grace and mercy, cause us to be good soil. Let us be among those who hear the word of God and do it. transform us through thy Holy Spirit. As we ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.